Yeah, you know, your heart gets so full sometimes of just of a wide variety of other of things. And of course, as many of you know, Vicki and I are here in San Diego to help and assisting with the ministry and in ministering to Mike McNair's family, who will be traveling in the next few days to celebrate Mike's life. And gosh, that's a whole nother story. But precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints, and especially a young man, 47 years old. But you know what? We have to just live every day. Somebody once said, we live every day like it's our last day. Because we don't know. We don't know what the future holds, right? But we do know who holds the future, right? Yeah. And we got God. I'm just so thankful. I mean, we don't walk perfectly. We're up and down and in and out and all sorts of things. And we're our own worst critics a lot of times because of the way we think we should be and shouldn't be. And all. Do you know what? God doesn't care, really. He just looks right directly straight into the heart of a person. And you know what? He just wants us to love him. He's like, I already know all about you anyway, so it's not like you're, you know, pulling something over my eyes here. I mean, I already do know every little detail about your life. He just wants our heart. He just wants us to love him. And I thought about, because I know recently we've been talking about really the kind of having those relationships within the body of Christ, like in Galatians 6:10. Let's just go there. Vicki shared this verse, I think, right around the New Year's time. And it's kind of been circulating through my heart a little bit since then. And I know Bob mentioned it, and we've talked about it. Bob McCall taught on the love of God the other day. And, you know, we just are always in this environment where we're around these other, like our friend Fred Goff calls them carbon-based units. They're called human beings. Our life is surrounded with other people, right? And there's something here written in Galatians 6 that is just so fabulous. And I'm going to let Vicki read it. I think we can hear it here. We'll start in verse 9. You want to read it here?
Sure.
Verse 9 and 10.
Sure, let me
get there.
Okay. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith.
Mm. Let us not be weary in doing well. What translation was that?
Like New King James.
New King James. For in due season we shall reap if what? We just don't give up. We don't faint. We don't quit. We got to have the finish line up there in front of us. And you know what? For us, the finish line is the hope, the return of Jesus Christ. It is the thing we are moving towards, and it could happen at any moment. See, we have no idea when it's going to occur. And so what do we do in the process? Well, the encouragement and exhortation of the word, it says, and let us not be weary while doing, as we have therefore opportunity. And I think we all know what that means. As there are opportunities there in front of us, it says, let us do good unto what?
All men.
Especially unto them who are of the household of the faith. Who are those house people in the household of faith? There's Joe putting his hand up. Daniel, I see him. Everybody's kind of making the movement here. We're the ones in the household of faith. We're the ones who we really desire to bless and to take care of and help and strengthen and build up and encourage and all these things. Why? So that you can be your best for God. You know, so that we all are encouraging and helping each other to be our very best. See, and it's you know, I take the focus off of me so I can help Joe be a better believer, or Dagmar, or Daniel, or Jeanette. I mean, it's not about us. Love is living outside of ourselves to help others become better at what they were designed by God to be. And when we kind of have that attitude towards each other, then the whole body really flourishes and just grows and just takes care of itself in such a wonderful way. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, once heard a statement by someone who said, you know who hurts Christians?
Christians.
Other Christians. And it is so stinking true. Yeah. You go out into the world, 7-Eleven, somebody, whatever, says something, does something, it's like, yeah, it might hurt a little bit. But boy, it hurts a lot more if it's somebody who's close to you, maybe a family member, maybe a child, maybe a relative of a child, a spouse of a child. I mean, we have all been in these dynamic situations. And we have to be strong. We have to learn that the scriptures are applicable in a wide variety of situations. I don't know exactly, well, we know where Jesus came up with it by revelation. Love your enemies. Do good to them who despitefully use you and abuse you. And, I mean, that is just so contrary to the way you really feel. You know, because you feel like, I just want to, whatever,
punch
you know, punch them out or get on their case and just, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it just stirs this thing. But somehow love ends up being the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Bob taught, love never fails. It never fails. Never fails. There's a lot of other things in life that fail. Love is not one of those things. See? And that is just such a great example in 1 Corinthians, some of those qualities and characteristics of what the love of God really is. Maybe we should just review them real quickly. And it's a very high standard. But you know what? It's doable. It's doable. Because it's not of us. We aren't doing it in our own strength, in our own physical abilities. You are a spiritual man, a spiritual woman. You have the seed and the power and the ability of Christ within you. It's not about you. It's about who's living in you.
Mm-hmm.
Who defines you? What defines you? Not my education. Not my good looks or lack of good looks. It's spiritually, who has God made me to be as a child of God? And here's some beautiful things that we just inherit.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4, charity or the love of God suffers long. It puts up with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. It's kind. And that stirs up a whole other section of them. We could teach on that for the next week. But I remember Ephesians 4:32, as well as you do, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted for what?
Amen.
Giving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You'll never have a problem forgiving others when you remember what God has forgiven you for.
Amen.
Forgiveness is for you. The other people may not even know they offended you. But it's what we hold on to many times that burdens our hearts. So we just release it. We get rid of it. Charity suffers long. It's kind. It does not. It envies not. It vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It's not inflating me so I become something I don't need to be. You know, if anything, love is about humility. It is about lowering yourself in position so that you are in a place to serve and to help others rise up. Jesus, the prime example. He could have exalted himself because of who he was. You know what he did? He humbled himself and became a servant to all. Boy. It does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and there it is. Charity, what?
Never fails.
I don't understand that completely, but I know it's the truth of what God says. Charity never fails. All these other things, tongues, prophecies, all these other things, they're all going to go. But charity? In heaven, there's going to be a lot of love in heaven. Matter of fact, that's all there's going to be in heaven. Because it never fails. It never goes away. I mean, it's going to be a whole nother level of living. And so God's given us a little bit of it here as partakers of the divine nature, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to live above the circumstances of the world, not act like every other Joe Blow natural man who's just walking by the five senses, his emotions, his feelings. No. We're new. We're in particular. You know, Daniel did this thing a couple of weeks ago. He had Bob and I and somebody else shares. What does newness of life mean to you? Well, that's a darn good question. What does newness of life mean to you? Well, hey, I've got a very simple answer. Love. That I can be a better lover tomorrow or the rest of today than I've been up to this point in time. Because we've got the nature of God. God is love. He doesn't have to be loving. That's who he is. And he's in us. And we are fulfilled and developed completely as we walk in love. You can read this line by line, word by word, in multiple church epistles. Love. Love is always the answer. Always the answer. And so, again, to kind of close that up, in Galatians, where it talks about as you have opportunities, love others, all men, but especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Because I think that's where the devil works the hardest, is to keep people split up and bugged half to death about all this other stuff. We are spiritual men and women, and I don't care what the devil does, how he throws up circumstances, how I feel, what my emotions are. We walk and stand upon the truth of this right here. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, God is just so good. So, love. Love is at the foundation of everything. That is at the foundation of every word that is written in this Bible. From Genesis to Revelation to the very end, all we're going to do is experience more love at the gathering together. We're just going to move into this whole new love environment where there won't be any negatives, no dying, no crying, no sickness, no whatever. We're just going to be so completely filled with the completeness of love. We'll just be so blessed. It'll just be so sweet. But I want some of that now. You know, I don't want to have to wait. What am I going to be like, a person, well, I'll just wait until I die, then I'll get it.
How about
we get some of that now?
Yeah,
right now. So, that was kind of what was in my heart tonight to share, and I appreciate you guys being together with us. Dan and Rebecca, I know that you probably are on the phone line. And Rebecca, I would like to take you off of mute, and maybe you could have a closing prayer, please.
Okay, thank you. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for your love. Father, that you are our Father, that we belong to you, Father. Wow. In the world, yes, there's so many things going on, so many things that will try to distract us from you, from your promises, from your love. And yet, Father, you are so true. You are so faithful. We are so thankful that you have given us your word. And as we read that word, Father, we are just convicted that we know that what you speak always comes to pass, that you are not a man that you would lie, Father, that you love us. And as Barney says, that you want us to be great lovers of your children in this world and to reach out to those who are not part of the body yet. But we just pray, Father, and we walk boldly in this world as your light, as your ambassadors, not in our own strength, Father, but in the strength made available everything that your Son, Jesus Christ, made available, because, yes, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Father. In his name we pray, and we rejoice. Amen. Mm.